Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Who just told me literally 5 seconds before we did the intro that you got drunk on Saturday night and bought tickets to go see Robbie Williams.
I did, yes. And I don't know, I couldn't tell you why. Well, I went to see the Zootons.
Aside from the fact that Robbie's great.
He is great. So we went to see the Zootons and we were drinking in the pub afterwards and we'd had quite a few bevs while at the gig. And my housemate revealed that he was like, yeah, I bought tickets to see Robbie Williams the other week. And it's like all of his mates are going, his girlfriend's going. It's just this crazy big like British summertime festival.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I kind of like Robbie Williams' music. And then he was like, started listing off the other people. They're all of the same ilk and era.
Really?
And then it was the one that tipped me over the edge was because we'd been doing it on the Ramble Club podcast where we'd said, what's your sad song?
Yeah.
Keane, mate. No. Keane.
Crikey, Keane a performer.
Yeah, and I was like,
oh, mate, that's somewhere only we know.
That's tipped me right over the edge. I'm well into it.
So who else is on the lineup?
I can't. Do you know what? I can't remember. Well, I need to immediately buy these tickets because
Robbie
that just sounds
Williams.
Like a stupid day out.
Keane.
It's got loads of bangers, mate. That's the thing with Robbie Williams. You don't realise. Loads of bangers.
Black Eyed Peas are on the card, according to NME. Who else have we got here? Oh, yes, of course I accept
it's
privacy. God, NME's website is dreadful. Just give me a lineup, mate.
Fill for time.
Yeah, Texas are also playing. Feeder.
There you go.
Blimey.
Got to go for Feeder as well because I went to university in Exeter, in which Buck Rogers is the song.
Absolutely.
Because it mentions Devon.
And a pub that you used to frequent, I believe, your student union.
Well, the Lemmy.
Yes.
Well, it mentions lemons. So, yeah, I don't know if that is that meant to be the Lemmy?
Well, that's what George always told me.
I don't know if that is. I just think they're just saying you drink cider from a lemon, maybe.
He always told me that it was a reference to your student union.
Well, if you believe that. If you choose to believe that.
Also confirmed as headliners for the British Summertime Series are Flo and the Mac, Florence and the Machine, The National, Celine Dion, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Protest, and Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, mate.
Oh, mate.
Very different days to the ones I'm having. I think I picked the worst one. I think I've seen Celine Dion.
Coming back to me now. Excellent deep pull there of the sleep. Instantly, people would just go with my heart will go on.
Yeah, but that's boring. Yeah, that's a rubbish version.
It's not a great.
You want to go straight in? It's all coming back.
I was going to say I said it was a deep cut, but I suppose that's probably the most popular song she's had outside of
My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah, but it's the only Celine Dion song that I know because I don't own any Celine Dion albums, nor have.
What do you mean?
What? I don't listen. My mum never listened to Celine Dion either. Neither did my dad, neither did my brother. So I've never known someone to own a Celine Dion album and therefore listen to it.
You've been missing out.
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Absolutely no idea. My mum was a Cher fan.
No, so. Cher's
if
a good
I turn back time. So
if I can find a way.
It's there in his kiss. That's a banging tune, that, mate.
That's a pretty good Cher impression, to be fair.
My wife does an excellent Cher impression. Yeah.
I think mine just goes from, like, I'm trying to do Elvis, and I end up at Cher. And that is always what's happening. Like someone puts on an Elvis song at karaoke and I'm trying to do Elvis.
Yeah.
And it just goes from like, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Round all the chat. Cher every single time.
Start morphing into yeah. Cher. Maybe that's how she got her career started. She was an Elvis impersonator.
That's probably
and
it.
And then
yeah,
found
yeah.
her own voice. Could be, mate. Right. So we were having a discussion on the podcast the other day about I had to go buy some emergency pants, essentially. Long story. I'll tell you later. People on the podcast have already heard this story.
Pooed himself.
Basically, it was more or less that. But I had to go buy some new pants. And I balked at the idea that buying four pairs of pants for £6.50, because that's a ludicrous amount of money to spend in Primark, of all places, for a pair of pants.
They should just be giving them out free with the other things that you buy.
Absolutely.
Buy a t-shirt, have some pants.
Absolutely, exactly. Like, they cost threepence to make. Like, the markup doesn't need to be that big. But someone emailed in because Ollie was then disappointed that no one was emailing in about how cheap I'm
how
being.
How cheap, yeah. And, that is very cheap.
And I was going to say, I am aware that I'm being cheap. Mm. Like, a lot of people, are taking...
Well, the reason you're needing to buy emergency pants is probably because your other ones are falling off you because they're basically made of rice paper.
Well, they were really smelling of smoke.
Yeah. After... Did you get them wet? Did you? Oh, wow.
Well, they just fall apart then, mate. But I think, yeah, some people are kind of thinking I'm being very serious with this, but I'm not. I'm being this for comedic effect. But I do still think that it's quite a large amount of money to pay in Primark.
£6.50 is like one pair of pants elsewhere.
If I was in Debenhams, then I'd probably see
Your markup from Primark is Debenhams and not like Top Man.
It's Marks and Spencer.
Yeah, that's it. I want the Rocker John Rocker clothes.
But Reese did email in to say, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and maybe Chopper, but not that other one we don't talk about. As Ollie seemed disappointed not to receive any correspondence on Luke's pants on the SmackDown show, I thought I'd send something in about it. Now, Luke, in the previous debates, I was on your side. It is stupid that sizes aren't universal. We don't all have the time to try things on, and quite frankly, spending more than £15 on any item of clothing other than shoes or a suit or a coat is a rip-off in my mind. But I have to draw the line at deeming to want to spend less than almost £1 a pair of pants. The original ones you looked at were perfectly acceptable, and heck, I'd go as far to say that a multi-pack for £10 is a sweet spot. Anyway, keep doing what you're doing, always enjoy the content. Kind regards, Reese.
Maybe there's a way around this. Maybe you could move to Japan and buy the already used underwear out of the vending machines. That might be about £1.
Absolutely.
You never know. Yeah,
yeah,
that's, you know, that's
80% fact. I'm not sure they really exist. I'm going to say whale. It's W-A-E-L. While, maybe.
Whale?
I'm not sure. But he's emailed and say, hello, Luke, and everyone at WrestleTalk. Before getting in this, I just want to thank you for all the great content. It's exciting my job. I've been a listener. I've been listening to all the WrestleTalk podcasts, and I always look forward to the next one. As part of my graduate program, I am taking part in a fundraiser for charity. The graduate have to set a goal for this year's graduates to raise £60,000 rather for UNICEF as a team. My personal target is £350. To help raise this, I will be taking part in a 7-mile run and canyoning? What is a canyoning? With 100 other graduates in Wales for the charity.
Going through canyons, man.
Canyoning? What is canyoning? Quick Google
like hiking,
live on air.
Is it not?
Canyoning, also known as canyoneering, is an adventure activity that combines rock and water activities. This sport is full of adrenaline and natural beauty.
Wicked.
When you go canyoning, you will be trekking through river gorges, around pools, and behind waterfalls. That sounds rad.
That sounds fun. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do some canyoning.
Let's do an away day.
WrestleTalk go canyoning.
Yeah, we should be like, we don't like Andy. We need to go become friends.
Exactly, yeah. We'll do this as a team building exercise.
Can bully him into it.
Bully him. Climb up that mountain, Randy.
Randy, climb it. Get wet, Randy.
All the money would go towards providing education resources to children that don't have access to basic education, for example, for children in places of crisis or when natural disasters have occurred. If you or anyone at WrestleTalk are interested in sponsoring or perhaps possibly donating to this fundraiser, I'd be very, very grateful. Here is a link with a bit more information. So it's quite a lengthy URL. So what I'll do is I'll put it in the video description, the podcast description. So if you do want to go and help Whale, I'm so sorry if I'm saying that name wrong, which I...
He's going to Wales.
Absolutely believe
Maybe
I am saying it
Wales
wrong.
Singular.
It could be. Wales. I'm saying it very, very wrong. I do apologise. But yeah, if you want to go donate to this wonderful little chap, you can certainly do that by clicking the link that is in the podcast description. Right, let's jump into the main show. We haven't recorded it yet, but we will be doing so soon. We're going to be talking about Io Shirai and her quest for the NXT Women's Championship. Here is the show. If you are curious, if you're tuning in for the very first time, you are listening to, officially, one of the three banging pods ahead of Sunday's WrestleMania, as voted for by UK newspaper, The Metro.
Banging pod.
That's what it calls.
Well, that's it. That's the new slogan.
They have recommended three banging pods ahead.
Banging pod.
Three banging pods ahead of Sunday's WrestleMania, and it is WrestleSplania, Talk is Jericho, and the Wrestle Ramble.
As someone said, we just made the list.
Oh, we did just make the list. And I quote, lovable Londoners Luke Cohn and Ollie Davis break down the week in WWE with reviews, wit, and catchphrases galore.
Where's my name?
It's also the old artwork, but I'm not going to hold that against them. Really, it's more upsetting that you're not listed.
Outrageous.
They don't.
I've got two names.
Clearly, like Ollie, they don't listen to the NXT episodes. But we are here to talk about NXT, and we're going to kick off with our main topic of conversation, which is about the main event of the show and that main event angle that came along with it. Because it was a match between Kairi Sane and Bianca Belair, mm-hmm. who are going to be part of the Fatal 4-Way. Not announced as a ladder match on this show.
No.
So as of right now, it is still just a straight Fatal 4-Way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're going to be part of that Fatal 4-Way, Sane, Belair, Io Shirai, and Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. So this was kind of like a bit of an exhibition match. Who can get the upper hand? Surprise, surprise, Shayna Baszler ran down and caused a DQ.
No.
Yeah, she did.
They need to get some doors on like the stage. Like, ditch the curtain. Let's get some doors.
Well, the entire NXT locker room emptied, like the women's side of things, to try and break this all apart. And in the end, Bianca Belair just press slammed Lacey Lane over the top rope onto everyone. And then Io Shirai moonsaulted everyone. Yeah. She moonsaulted a locker room.
That's how powerful her moonsault is.
It is, yeah. But let's talk about the match first. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed this match. I thought this was, it was interesting because I'm not always super into Kairi Sane matches. Mm-hmm. And this felt like they'd come out the gate and they were just like, let's just go big, like let's just go crazy. And there was like, and she was still the kind of like kawaii pirate princess
so kawaii
thing, but like it really worked here. Like the bit where she like takes her glove off, throws it down, and does her weird like pose.
And then,
I was like, yeah, I'm into that.
Right hand strike as well, just socked her right in the face.
I think that's the perfect use of it. It's like, let's be cute as a disarming device. It's like cats when they're like, stroke me, stroke me, stroke me. It's like, stroke me with your eyes. And then when you touch them, they're like, ah! Like, that was what she was doing.
Is that what cats do?
That's what cats are doing. Oh, okay. They're like, stroke me with your eyes.
Yeah, I agree with you
on the match side of
things. Yeah, I thought it was a very good match. I really enjoyed these two working together. Kind of like you, I suppose I don't like heavily get into Kairi Sane matches. Mm. I really enjoy watching her as a wrestler, but I don't think I've been sort of emotionally invested in any of her matches.
I think it's interesting with Sane and Bianca Belair, especially though. I think they've both had, because Baszler is at the top of the division, Baszler's got a very specific style of wrestling, and it's very slow, very methodical. I break you down, you power up and fight back. And it was interesting to watch the two people who have, for the most part, had to power up and fight back, just go, let's just do the bit where we're powered up.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
For like minutes.
Yeah, and it was. And it was Kairi Sane working over Belair early on, like with an amazing spear, making fun of her hair braid and things like that.
Really
wonderful stuff. So, Sergeant Kabuki Man elbow off the aprons and things like that. But then Belair took over using her strength, press slams and the like. But I absolutely loved...
Ahoy!
At one point, Belair put her foot onto Kairi Sane.
Cocky
pin, and then went, ahoy! Like she is, like she's Mr. Burns answering the phone. Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy.
But then Kairi Sane got the knees up on like this sort of standing frog splash thing. And then started these wonderful rolling neck breakers.
Mm.
Oh, they were lovely stuff. And but Bianca Belair did this incredible like seated superplex.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
A spider superplex.
Yeah, it was incredible. Really, really good stuff.
But then I think it was like, it was a cool move, but then it didn't seem to have a payoff that was as equally as cool.
Yeah.
She did it, and then she was still on the turnbuckle.
And it was like, stuck.
And then she had to sort of, then she just had to sit back up and then go back down again to like, back to roll backwards off and then do a moonsault.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought this was decent action. And then, Baszler ran down and with the rest of the horsemen, they sort of ran roughshod on Bianca Belair and Kairi Sane, caused the DQ. Women's locker room empties. It's absolute bedlam. But I thought it was a wicked closing angle to kind of get you hyped for that Fatal 4-Way match.
Yeah, I think it was really good because it's throughout this show, we got a lot of other promos for other matches at TakeOver. And this felt like, on that same level of like hype building. I came away from this being like, well, actually, Kairi Sane to me is the least interesting person in that Fatal 4-Way. Mm-hmm. And I now came away from this being like, oh no, I'm really into all of this. Like,
yeah.
this was a perfect sort of like, this is the reason these people should be here. Like,
absolutely, yeah. I thought it was really, really, really great stuff. Particularly then when Io Shirai did her big old moonsault onto everyone. She gets into the ring. She grabs the NXT Women's Championship. She holds it above her head. And you've seen it in the thumbnail that we've got on this video. She's kind of like holding it very close to her, which has led a lot of people to think that it might be some sort of like foreshadowing heel turn. But what I loved about this was not just Io holding up the belt. It was Kairi Sane's reaction to Io holding up the belt. She just had this look on her face. Because these two have been like the kawaii best buds of being like, hey, we're super best friends. We don't like Bianca Belair. We don't like Shayna Baszler, but we love each other because we're all best buds. And it was the first time you'd seen Kairi Sane be like, oh, she might take the thing I want.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm cool with that.
Well, and it's interesting as well, because then that bleeds into, like, I think possibly the big part of the reason I wouldn't, in my prediction, have plumped for Io to win the belt is because I think the Sky Pirates as a team could go on to be like the next challengers for Banks and Bayley down the line. But also, the other reason is now there's also the potential that they cost each other the title here.
That's like, it. Yeah, they kind of cancel each other out because you and I both went for Io. No, we both went for Belair. We both went for Belair. And if you've watched our NXT TakeOver predictions, we both thought that Belair is going to come out the winner of the match. But Ollie went with Io. Yeah. And it's funny, as soon as that episode aired, you and I both turned to each other. I was like, God damn, I think I picked the wrong
woman. Yeah.
I picked the wrong woman to win. I, for me, it was...
I think thinking deeper, though, I do think, actually, they're either going to be saved as a team for the NXT tag, so for the women's tag titles, which is what I thought initially, or they will cost each other the belts.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
I'm hoping it's that one, because then we're right.
Yeah, but, as long as we win, I don't mind.
It was coming out of it, I suddenly thought, I think they were really pushing this idea hard that Sane could be a two-time women's champion coming out of this coming Friday. And then with the shot at the end, I suddenly thought to myself, oh man, they're going to have that moment where Sane almost steals the pin from Io Shirai. Like, maybe even like Shirai hits the moonsault and Kairi Sane throws her out the ring and steals it. It's not as a heel move, but but just like, I really want to win this belt. And I know you're my best friend and everything, but
I'm willing to sacrifice you for that.
Exactly. I'm willing to sacrifice that because I want to be the champion. I can almost see them going down that direction.
And they did hint in this match at like her frustration at not being able to pin Belair. And she was like going deeper and deeper into her well of moves and getting more and more vicious as the thing went on. So yeah. Could be.
I can't see them doing a Kairi Sane heel turn. She's too kawaii for like a heel turn. But
she could be Blackbeard.
A damn dirty pirate.
She could come in as Long John Silver.
Oh, man. She's a pirate. It's been in our face all this time. Of course she's a baddie.
Good. Captain Jack Sparrow, you lied to me.
So I'm still confident in our pick of Belair. Mm-hmm. But coming out of this match, but that's kind of the other brilliance of this match and like of this episode, is it really threw a lot of my preconceived notions of where I thought TakeOver was heading into question.
Yeah, I think it did a very good job of just being, I think the two factors in this feud, four-way feud, that haven't really been pushed enough are Sane and Io. Like, Io's been very strong since she arrived, but actually has felt like an afterthought and been just immediately flung into like a tag team kind of deal. Belair and Shayna Baszler feel like the big ticket items. Mm. And this did a great job of putting over Sane and also then just putting over Io at the end. So it's like now everyone feels on even footing.
Yeah.
And it could be a hell of a match.
Oh, I'm really, really looking forward to it. And are you still thinking that we're going to get a Baszler call up after Mania?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I just think it's her time.
Duke and Shafir or on her own?
I think with Duke and Shafir would be the best. But... probably just on our own, because I think Duke and Shafir probably need a little bit more time down in NXT.
Yeah, I am inclined to agree with you. I don't think they are, like, certainly not match ready. But I think character-wise, they certainly are. And I think there is a case that there are some wrestlers that just benefit from being on the main roster than they were, that they did in NXT.
I think they don't mind so much having people, I don't think even sending them up to the main roster with Baszler means they can't be having matches in NXT as well. Because we've seen that, like, for certain people, they're happy to do the commutes and all that stuff for. So why wouldn't they do that with them? And it's just like their matches happen in NXT, but their angle stuff all happens on the main roster where they just back up Baszler.
Exactly. Yeah, they could just be seconds to Baszler, and they can do six man tags and things like that where you're sort of you're hidden on the road doing the house show loop and the house show circuit. That might be really good for them. Like, I look at Elias as a good example of this. Elias in NXT was bland and boring. No one liked Elias. Mm-hmm. Drift Away was like a common challenge. It was like the Forgotten Sons of people, like stay forgotten. Yeah. He was getting like Drift Away. No one liked Elias. He was the drift. It was a rubbish character. As soon as he went to the main roster, it was a completely different person. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he just like, where were you? Were you in all this time in NXT? Like he's an incredible performer now. I think he feels like a better wrestler now than he did when he was in NXT.
I think the Riot Squad are other good examples of that. It's like Liv Morgan was.
Yeah, she's pretty, another good example.
Like she's got much better from being on the main roster, and I think just being exposed to that top level of talent, especially in the women's roster, because it's so much smaller. Chances are, 2 weeks they're done with you having your feud with Dana Brooke, you'll be like in the ring with Banks and Bayley or for Charlotte or Becky Lynch, you know.
Exactly,
someone to learn from.
Exactly, you'd have got to think the Riot Squad have probably been six-man tags all the time with Bayley and Banks and you know and another one as well. So you're in the ring with these people all the time. It can only benefit for you. So I could imagine them taking up Baszler with Duke and Shafir, even if, and I do agree that Duke and Shafir probably aren't main roster ready yet.
No.
But I don't think it'd be the worst thing either. I think they could learn a lot from roster.
It's worth considering the fact that like Absolution and the Riot Squad, like 2/3 of both teams weren't main roster ready really.
Yeah.
And they all pretty much are now. Like, you know, I wasn't annoyed at the idea of them being there for the time that they've been there. Like just quietly getting on with it in the matches, in the kind of matches they've been in as well, like backing up a hot ticket item like a Ruby Riot who should have been pushed to the moon by now.
Yeah, tell me
you
about
know,
it.
Or Paige, a returning Paige. Like, same thing with Duke and Shafir. If they're just backing up Baszler.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not the worst thing in the world. It's a great learning experience, and like, it's probably better to do that than it is to just stay in Full Sail forever.
And if you want to do those horsewomen matches, absolutely. But let's go back to Io Shirai. Do we think she can win this Friday? Tomorrow, in fact. Takeover's tomorrow. We'll get back to Io Shirai in a second, but I just want to say this show made me hyped for this coming Friday.
Holy heck, there are some great promo packages in this.
Oh, good Lord. Well, we'll get into this. But yeah, can Io Shirai win on Friday?
I think she definitely can. I don't want her to, because then I lose the prediction. But I think she definitely could. I don't think it would be damaging to the NXT Women's Division to have her win. Like, she's an awesome talent. Like, pushing her to the moon is obviously also great for many business reasons. She wears a mask. You can sell the mask.
Absolutely.
Her t-shirt's
cool.
Think of the merch. Yep. But like, I think she's cool. Like, she's very different to a lot of the other women in WWE because she's such a high flyer. Like, she just does crazy stuff that other people there don't do. So
yes. I think it's now down to Sane and Belair personally. And I still think Belair is coming out champion on Friday. Mm-hmm.
I think a heel turned Belair.
Well, I think she's been kind of heel since.
She's been heelish.
I think since that six-woman tag. Like, that's a good shout. Like, I think since that six-woman tag where she didn't pin Baszler and Io did, I think she has been more heelish since then. Like, going back to that original Bianca Belair character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, maybe even going, like, full-on cheating to win, bringing out the hair whip again.
I think that all plays off the undefeated kind of vibe. Like, you know, she's now ignoring the actuality of what happened and just saying, I'm still undefeated. So,
in her mind.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now got to do some $25 and above Patreon shout-outs. If you want one of those, then all you got to do is become one of our pledge hammers on Patreon at the $25 amount or more, and you'll get your name shouted out by these three cool cats here. Starting off with Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins!
Yay! He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man.
That's right, he's not a gross man.
Switchblade, Courtney Summers.
Oh, yes, one of our longest-standing ones. .. Dylan Cachetta. Yes, ooh, nice. Dylan.
They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Oh, yes. If you're wondering why I'm clapping with one hand, it's because I'm also correcting the cameras. Next up.
You sold out, Jay Sellers.
Yeah, you did, mate. Yeah, you did. Jonathan, the headmaster headman.
Oh, Jonathan.
The demon headmaster.
Damian Wayne Wade Wilson. That's a lot of comic book references in one.
I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
Still my favourite gag. Still my favourite gag. Have a cup of tea, Lee. Because his name's T. Lee.
T. Lee. Caught in a Travis Webb.
Oh, like Spider-Man. And lastly, yet, Datsun, take us home.
We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
We're
good
to catch
stuff.
A big one.
Love-
I'm not scared.
Right, well, Randy Datsun, do you have some questions for us?
Yes. I do. Spencer O asks, thanks for reminding me that trapdoor exists, Luke.
You're very welcome. But remember,
it existed. It's not yeah. exist anymore.
Don't you open that trapdoor. You're a fool if you dare.
We have Tanner. I can't remember how I spelled, wrote this down. Tanner something says, which main roster stars should go back to NXT?
I love you, Randy. I really do, mate.
My God. All of them?
One of my favourite people. Tyler Breeze.
Tyler
Breeze for me. I know we had him on NXT a couple of weeks back, but for me, he's doing nothing. Like, he is a nothing factor on Raw.
The Ascension.
To be honest.
The Dissension. Send him back down.
And, like, the Dissension's really, again, not a bad shout because I think they still are the longest reigning NXT tag team champions. So to be able to go down with that accolade, I think is something that's quite cool. But also, they were tag team champions in a time before TakeOver events.
Yeah.
So I don't think they were ever really like, they were the longest reigning tag champs, but who were you defending against? Like, it was just a lot of makeshift teams. And so I think that them coming back now with such a strong tag team division would be really, really beneficial to them.
I genuinely think any mid to lower card act in WWE should just be able to go back to NXT for 6 months and then come back up to the main roster sort of at will.
Absolutely.
I just think, like, I get the fact that you don't want to take, like, your Finn Balor's, your Seth Rollins, your Roman Reigns off Raw for any period of time, like, unless you're sending them to SmackDown. But everyone else...
Yeah.
No one's turning up for Tyler Breeze. Like, no one's going, like, I have to see
I've
Tyler.
Got to get that hot ticket to go see Apollo Crews.
Yeah, exactly. But Apollo back in NXT, people were like, okay.
I can get on board with this guy. Good question. That's
Adam Pearson asks, do you play Magic the Gathering?
It's too complex. No. I don't understand.
I've got a bit of a thing with Magic the Gathering. When I was a kid, I was my brother's 6 years older than me. 5 and a half, as he'll tell you. 5 and a half years older than me. That's because he's nearing 40. I'm 5 and a half years old. I'm not that much older. So him and his friends, I used to play games with them all the time. They were like sort of my gateway into like the tabletop world or like Warhammer and things like that. and they hated Magic the Gathering. Like, my brother's friend Alex in particular hated Magic the Gathering.
It's for nerds.
Yeah, and he was just like, it's the worst card game in the world. He just absolutely hates it. So I think that hatred had just carried over into my adult life now. Because I was just like, because I'm a young kid just wanting to be with all the other cool kids and be like, yeah, no, I agree with you, man. I think it's stupid. So I think my hatred of Magic the Gathering has just carried over from me being six and being told by two 12-year-olds that Magic's rubbish.
It's pretty good. I don't know. It's too complex for me.
Yeah. I'm a Star Realms guy anyway.
I barely played Keyforge since I bought decks. I've bought Halo like twice.
Yeah. I love Keyforge.
Just have enough time.
Keyforge. Undefeated at Keyforge thus far. I love that game.
One match.
Three. That's it.
One match against one. Three matches against one newbie.
That's true. And he wasn't. Well, yeah, it's my brother.
I mean, this is unprecedented, but I did play Magic the Gathering when I was.
Really?
Younger.
Oh, yeah. Mate. What did you. Okay.
Nerd! Nerd!
So, Datsun, really, your best place to answer this question. What do you think of Magic the Gathering?
I haven't played in a while, but I used to really enjoy it. Me and my brother used to play it every time we went on holiday. He was much better than me, but he is a few years older.
This is why Datsun's over in the comment section.
We had
so sad.
We just had really nice times together. I just really enjoyed it.
Oh, nice way. Can I have a question, please?
Yes, you can. From
enough about you and your life.
From Wrestling Combat Club says Gargano to the main roster after NXT full time? ?
So the current rumor is he's heading to 205 Live.
Boo.
Boo indeed. Which, as we were saying on the prediction show, feels like it's a lateral move. Like, you're just moving across to 205 Live as opposed
you're
to
moving
like
down, really.
Actually, you are moving down. Watched by less people. So yeah, you are moving downwards.
You do get to, there's some amazing people there that you can have matches with. Like, Gargano would also be like perfectly placed to dethrone Buddy Murphy. If you're not getting Tony Nese this weekend.
If it's a case of, like, if you want that big championship moment for Gargano, do you want it to be the Cruiserweight Championship
that no one cares about? But then that's like, are they just going to put him on 205 to stall for time until Ciampa returns and then move him back across to
that's
NXT?
That's actually not
for like
the
a
worst idea, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the worst
if
idea
If I was Johnny,
all.
I'd be like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I still don't want to do that, even if it is finishing this story and getting this big return to NXT pop when he comes back.
But. Absolutely, yeah. So, I'd rather Gargano stay in NXT.
If he was going anywhere, I'd want him to go SmackDown.
But then again, I said that about Andrade, and it took them like a year to like work out what to do with that. And then so it just leaves you a lot of frustration. Look at Sanity. Like, Sanity as a group are like, they were a team that was like, I'm so glad they're on SmackDown. What a perfect place for them to be.
Yeah, nothing.
And look at them now. Beat 3-on-1 by The Miz.
Yeah, well, SmackDown's got a few too many Randy Ortons and Jeff Hardy's on it, doesn't it?
Well, let's hope the Superstar Shake-Up might change that up a little bit. Dazzin, do we have more questions?
Yes, you have 2.5 more. You have HP...
Half a question.
Yes. HCP Assassin, spelled ass-ass-in, as he put it. Could Shafir and Duke do what Black and Ricochet have been doing and go on both brands, SmackDown and Raw, if they get called up?
No, they'll be assigned to a separate brand. Black and Ricochet are going to be assigned to a brand as well.
You think?
Eventually, after WrestleMania.
I don't know.
They'll be assigned to a brand.
I don't know why everyone's flitting around nowadays.
Well, I think it's WrestleMania season.
I know, but like, it's better. It's better this way. Why wouldn't you go, well, that's better.
Yeah. And I think the Black and Ricochet will get, like, I don't think they're winning this this coming Sunday. Mm. And I think they'll end up on Raw as a Raw tag team.
Yeah, I just think
I hasten to add, is the worst use of them.
The worst use. Yeah, but it's a shame, isn't it? Because like, obviously a lot of this is all based around various TV deals that are happening where they're like, well, I want these people in place here, here, and here for this thing and that thing. So, fine, but hopefully that deal also includes the fact that it's like we've got people that we've cherry-picked to be on these programs, and then everyone else can kind of just go elsewhere and do other stuff.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, let them float around.
Absolutely. Datsun.
Yes, another one from, it is Tanner Sturica, as I should have said earlier. Does the fact that Vince doesn't watch NXT harm the product?
No.
Yeah, I think it's allowed to do more.
Yeah, it gets away with more things. It gets away with having Billie Eilish as a theme song because Vince isn't involved. He's like, no, put some Tiny Temper on it.
I want Timber.
I'm going down. I'm yelling Timber.
Better move. You better dance.
Speaking of which, Keo Bandodka has asked me to sing, but I will not do that.
Can you do a rap instead?
I'm... Can you imagine me rapping in this voice?
Yeah, I can, yeah. And I think it will be hilarious.
Bit of Eminem. Well, I'll prepare some for later.
Thanks, mate.
Tomo, as usual, asks, any NXT tag teams to be called up after WrestleMania? Or if or not... Not that they will be, or should they be, perhaps.
Street Profits! Come on, mate. It's time for the profs. Profs to come up to the main roster.
Yeah, I would say Birch and Lorcan, but Birch is very much training people, isn't he?
And yeah, and Lorcan's now on 205.
Now on 205 Live as a heel for some reason. I don't know. Who else is there? Who even else is there?
So many tag teams. I mean, I don't think the Undisputed Era are getting called up.
No, I think they should stay.
Who else was it? Forgotten Sons? They'll Forgotten be staying Sons around. Who else were in the Dusty Classic?
DIY.
European Union. They'll European be on Union. NXT UK. Yep. So really, I think it's the profs, probably.
Yeah.
Profs. And that really depends on what happens when they face Eichner and Bartel this on next
the,
week.
Yeah.
So
but on the taped before.
Exactly,
takeover.
Yeah. Right, well, thank you all for your questions. We'll have some more of those at the end of the show. Good work, Andy, as always, mate. But the show kicked off with WrestleTalk fan and Married Mark's frequent Karen in front row. She was almost front and center for the show. So, hi, Karen. Good to see you. And then the show was actually kicked off by the War Raiders coming out for the... And I thought to myself... God, we haven't seen the War Raiders in ages.
I don't think we've seen them since they won the titles, doing any, not doing a match.
Exactly. Like they came out last week to pose with the belts against Black and Ricochet.
Yeah, they've popped out. They've been on stage a few times. They've popped up behind the Undisputed Era a few times.
Yeah,
as well,
maybe,
like,
yeah.
There's nothing they've really done.
It feels like ages since we've seen them wrestle on TV. But they have been just, busy with the Tag Classic, I guess.
Yeah, and are they just resting up? Because they were so injured coming out of the War Games match, and they rested up after that to come back and then have the big tag match where they won the title, and then now they're resting up again, probably just because everything just exploded again inside Hansen after that first one.
Yeah, so they came out for a match against two jabronis. McGuinness was just like, I mean, this is a risky move by the War Raiders. They've got a tag match. Like, they've got a title defense this coming Friday. They could get injured here, which was really funny.
Yeah, the worst thing that happened is they could stub their toes.
Hansen, like, booted one of them in the face. Like, they were two proper little jobbers, these lads.
Beals all over the place.
Absolutely.
Have just some Jessicas.
Yeah, just throwing hither and yonder, and they pinned them quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rowe cut a promo saying that Regal has allowed them to send a message to Aleister Black and Ricochet for this coming Friday. And Hansen just, like, terrifyingly comes up. It's like, but you don't have to listen. You just have to watch.
Bring out the next team!
And they brought out the next team. It was Cesar Bononi and Adrian Jaud.
Yeah.
Adrian Jaud.
Jaud.
Jaud. And War Raiders killed them too with wicked clotheslines.
Long-established tag team, Cesar Bononi and Adrian Jaud.
And a knee by Row that made you jump out of your chair.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite move in wrestling is the sort of like back flip.
Yeah.
Like monkey flip type, well, the sort of arm drag type thing that he does up and over and slams him down and just knees him in the face and then just screams at them. It's so good.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff. I love it when Riddle does as well, because Riddle just grabs you by the hands as well and just like brings you further
into
it.
He doesn't scream at them, and that's
and that's the key to it.
That's the selling of it for me. I'm just like, if you don't scream, you don't mean it.
Is that what Sarah Logan went for as well?
Yeah, that's it.
She keeps saying, if you don't scream, I'm just not going for you.
There you go.
And that's how they got married. Ooh. So, for any of our single viewers out there, just scream. Knee people in the face and scream, and women will come flocking. That's terrible advice. Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't knee people in the face. Bad. Never do that. But they also brought up that Jaud is a black bait in Aikido, which I believe is what Steven Seagal practices.
Ooh.
Fun fact for you.
Sounds like a European supermarket. I'm going to get my shopping from Aikido.
And shock horror, War Raiders killed them and won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Big old power bombs, power slam combos, top rope leg drop. Just slaughtered these two lads. And it was pretty wicked, in all fairness. Yeah. Really
enjoyed
it. I was
up for another team.
Yeah.
To be honest, I was like, let's have another one out.
Let's have another one. Who else can we send down?
But they could have escalated it. They could have just done, like, jobbers, people you've heard of. Street Profits.
Oh, you can't do it to the Profits.
You can do
mate.
It to the Profits.
No.
Definitely. Yeah, but I feel like you could have done someone like slightly further up.
Yeah, no, I hear what
like
you mean.
And been like, yeah.
Like in European Union.
Yeah, and actually had like a match where it's a bit more, like it's a tiny bit more competitive and then they still just dominate.
Just dominate, yeah. But
remember, like,
I know you said you can't do that to the Profits, but there was that bit where there was the big tag team brawl and they came out and wiped everyone
That's
out.
That's true.
So they have beaten the entire locker room on their own before.
It's very true, yeah. So I think it was a good showing for War Raiders, which they needed because Aleister Black and Ricochet have been so featured on NXT for the Dusty Classic. I think you needed this kind of like double squash match to really put over the War Raiders. I think it's going to be an excellent match this coming Friday.
Wait.
It's going to be so great. Speaking of things I cannot wait for this Friday, this is tomorrow. I can't wait. It's Pete Dunne versus Volta in New York, and they had this hype package video for it. Talking about how Dunn is closing in on 700 days as the WWE United Kingdom champion. He won it in Chicago years ago. And then you had him be like, I'm the champion and I'm going to remain the champion of NXT UK. It belongs to me. And then we got loads of clips of Volta from Progress and WXW and NXT UK where he just murders people.
I got chills when his music started in that promo. Oh. I was like, I cannot wait to watch an entire arena of people just go da 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 da.
Hey, that was. I mean, I loved Progress last year. Hello, Wembley. But that was my favorite moment of the whole thing, was just Wembley Arena all in unison going, da, 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 da. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. And so that is going to be...
It's like a really classy football chart.
So, or like going to the darts.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be amazing inside the Barclays Center. Holy hell, it's going to be great. Wonderful, wonderful video.
So long
package
as people know who he is, like, yeah.
Oh, and they will.
I think after that video package as well, you're going to get a lot of people just being like, oh, okay, yeah.
I think it's
Pete Dunne is so over as well.
Yeah, it's the hardcore audience going to that show, and it's the traveling audience. So I think that everyone, there's going to be so many Progress fans there who are going to be massively into it. Speaking of Progress, they announced Kyle O'Reilly for Super Strong Style.
My God.
We then got a video package for NXT TakeOver New York, basically. It was just, this show is happening. It's happening on Friday. Soundtracked to Billie Eilish, which, ironically, is called an NXT loud theme. If it is anything but loud.
You should see me in a crowd. Yeah. Actually, to be fair, the song got over with me.
So,
today.
Datsun?
That song's on Rocket League, for anyone wondering where that possibly became famous.
What's a Rocket League?
It is a
I know what it is. I was joking. I was playing dumb.
It's car football, Luke.
In all fairness, though, I have played Rocket League, and it is rubbish.
No, it's not.
You're wrong.
No, it
you're
is.
Really wrong.
It is.
It's a great game.
White pants.
I'm terrible at it, but it's good.
I'm awful at it, but I think that's the game's fault, not mine.
You probably also think about Castlevania, I'm sure.
It is no Castlevania, I will say that.
No, because it's a completely different genre of game, Luke.
And a better one. But yeah, to your point, I made fun of this track. Not made fun of it, but I was like, God, it's like the most, and it's an anti-wrestling song.
It's an anti-climactic song.
Yes, and I still stand by that. However, I would listen to it.
I did listen to it after this, and I think it really worked in this promo. I think this promo was, one, awesome. I love the shot where Johnny Gargano's leading the whole, like,
NXT locker room.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff,
main
yeah,
the main locker room through smoke towards the camera. That's brilliant. Like, it was so stylish and so cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the song fit it perfectly.
It's better than Disturbed.
Well, it's nice to have something, some variety, where it's not just people I've not heard of singing about their feelings.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so just been like, you should. You know.
Well, unless she's singing about her feelings about Crowns.
Yeah, I know, but the beat's different, isn't it?
The beat is different.
You've got a real problem with genres, Luke.
No,
Castlevania, Rocket League, same thing, mate.
I
Billie
said
Eilish,
I liked it.
Disturbed, same thing, mate.
I said I liked the track, man. I would totally listen to it. I would have that on my car playlist, and I would enjoy it. My wife would hate it, but I would love it. Video package for the Performance Center and their YouTube channel.
I liked this.
I liked it as well.
I like the Performance Center's YouTube channel. I think it's great.
So my question to you, I think we'll probably talk about this more than I think anyone ever expected us to. Do you think that it breaks kayfabe, and is that a bad thing?
It does break kayfabe, I think. But that's not a bad thing, I don't think. I think kayfabe is no longer a thing we need to maintain as like the idea that like if someone finds out, that's a bad thing. I think we only need to maintain it in the sense of like what happens here is the story and what happens here is the thing we're all interested in.
Yeah.
It's the same as being like, you know, I'm interested in actors' lives, but I'm also interested in what they do in films.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be like, you know, Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. I'm like, what's the Joker as a character about? And then what does he do in his regular day? What's he have for breakfast? I just want to know.
Absolutely.
And I think that's fine with the, like the PC stuff is to be like, you know, people are connected. They all work and live in the same place. We're all looking at them on Twitter anyway. So it's not...
Yeah, you know, that's like, the key to it, really, isn't it?
Kayfabe has already been broken. So you can't really put it back together, I guess, is the problem.
And really, this channel is designed for people who watch channels like this that are the hardest of the hardcore fans. Mm-hmm. So they all know that it's a kayfabe world and things like that. So I don't think people mind too much.
Does anyone not know?
I don't know.
Because I want to meet that guy.
When I read some YouTube comments or some people on Twitter, I'm like, I don't think they know. I don't think they do know. Because there's like a shot like right at the end of this when like Ricochet and Casey Catamaran are having a little like smooch and stuff and enjoying themselves. And yeah, Rhea Ripley's just standing there like hanging out with them. And I'm like, don't you hate everyone? Like, isn't your character...
But she does hate that bit as well. She's leans in there.
Yeah, but it's a bit of fun. I loved it, though. I thought it was a fun little package.
It's a really good YouTube channel. Check it out.
Yeah. Also, we feature in that channel because Matt Riddle's Arrival series, you can see the WrestleTalk magazine in his office. So, thumbs up. Cheers,
Matt. He's
been
using it to roll.
practice rolling?
Yes, yes.
Front rolls?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing else. So, Candice LeRae was being interviewed earlier in the day, and I feel bad for Candice at times like this, where she walks up and is like, hey, Candice, can we interview you? She's like, yeah, sure. And they're like, Johnny Gargano. Yeah. Hey, I am more than just Johnny's wife.
I'm a wrestler.
I'm a wrestler.
Respect me.
I was in the Royal Rumble. Respect me.
Poor Candice.
Poor Candice. She did, however, turn this into the fact that, yeah, I want to be NXT Women's Champion. Mm-hmm. So well done you, Candice.
That's what you want.
Exactly. And then Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne walk up and they all stand in a line and Aaliyah says some stuff. She had this really weird line, though. I don't think, if I might have misheard this.
Right, go on.
Or they did a mistake. She made an error and they didn't bother doing a retake. But she said, Candice, you want to be a champion, which makes you a failure. I was like, no, I think that makes her a bit of a winner, doesn't it? Like, she wants to be something.
Yeah. I don't know. We should have left Aaliyah where she was.
Back in the closet.
Back in the closet, Aaliyah.
Well, she is going to be at a NXT TakeOver. She's going to be at the Brooklyn Center. Mm-hmm. Not on the TakeOver show, but in the pre-show bit that's going to then air next week, which we'll obviously be reviewing here on this channel. And that sort of match was made. Like, Candice challenged Aaliyah to a match, and then it was announced later on in the show. I really like Candice. Love Candice LeRae. Really, I'm looking forward to this sort of post-takeover season where she might actually be involved in some storylines.
Yeah, she might be some storylines. Sort of work her way up, yeah.
Stop being just Johnny's wife and being sort of like a third wheel to that Gargano-Ciampa storyline. Mm. Although a very effective third wheel. I don't want to like downplay her role
because she was great
as it. But she's also a very good wrestler.
Yeah, I think the problem is that was such a dominating story in NXT that they were like, we can't really do anything else with her because every time we have to mention that she's his wife, then we have to go back and be like, but she's also had this match and there's all these other information. It's like, why did no one stopping her doing these things?
Particularly when Gargano was in his heel role as well. Yeah.
Speaking
of dominating segue, Oney Lorcan versus Jackson Ryker, 205 Live's Oney Lorcan. Mm-hmm. My first note of this, well, this match should be as stiff as a dick.
To Oney Lorcan.
It bloody was. Mm. This match was very hard. I liked Birch outside just challenging the other lads.
Oh, that was real.
Come on then! Come on then! Come on then! That's great. Brilliant. Bloody love you, Danny Birch. But there was a Lorcan comeback to this match, but this was very much a Jackson Ryker showcase, and he looks great when he does these showcases.
Yeah, it's slow is my only issue.
This match did go long.
There's slow beatdowns. They're brutal looking. Some of the stuff he does is amazing, but it's very like slow moving, picks them up, does something crazy, thinks about it, does another thing.
Yeah.
And the crowd were being like, oh my God. For a bit.
Very quiet. Yeah, very quiet for this. Like, and I'll be honest, nothing kills a crowd more in 2019 than doing a bear hug.
Yeah.
Like when he wrapped him in for a bear hug, I was like, lads.
Yeah, come on. Like you did such good work last week to get over. Like, you know, you were on the cusp of people caring about the Forgotten Sons.
Exactly.
You did the impossible.
Exactly. The commentary team were just like, Jackson Ryker's going to have to try and put the Forgotten Sons back on the right track. I was like, they made it to the final. They got beat by Aleister Black and Ricochet. That's not exactly a bad thing.
Yeah, two previous champions.
Yeah, quite exactly. Yeah. Man, they've hit a bump in the road. Yeah. They lost one match.
Yeah.
They went further than anyone would have expected. But yeah, I thought this was quite good. I like Oni's comeback. I love his European uppercuts and his big old chops.
My favorite is where he holds the side of their head and then just slaps them.
Love it. And then Riker does a sit-out powerbomb and he wins. Mm. I believe the move is called No Remorse.
That's what I wrote, isn't
it? Yeah, nice stuff. We then got...
I like the fact the other sons held him back from beating him up further as well. That was quite a cool moment, I thought.
That was cool. But coming up next, easily the best thing on this show by leaps and bounds. I could spend an hour talking just about this. I want to do a frame-by-frame breakdown of this. It was a video package to hype up Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship, the vacant NXT Championship.
Hype it did.
Bearing in mind that this match is 2 weeks old because it was supposed to be Gargano Ciampa for the championship at TakeOver. Ciampa got injured, had to vacate the belt. So now we had to build this match very, very quickly. It's 2 weeks, 3 weeks at most old.
Mm-hmm.
And this video package made it feel like an absolute war that has been raging and raging. And what I loved about this and what I love about NXT and why it makes me angry with the main roster sometimes is this whole video package wasn't, they didn't artificially add anything in, they didn't make anything up.
No.
This whole video package was based around their characters and their characters' journeys. Though they have been separate, they have now come together and they're using these character moments to create tension between the two.
Well, it's nuts, isn't it? Because this whole promo package was built around two sit-down interviews with them and the face-to-face they had the other week and all the lines in that being interspliced with what they were saying and the commentary stuff. And they just made this incredible video package that, like, some other people have, like, 6 months build. And they can't get something as good as that out of it. And this just had such a good through line, a good narrative, and made what was basically an accidental match happening feel like a blockbuster event.
The biggest match possible.
Yeah.
It's a bit like going back to Progress. I said this in when we did our top 10 matches of the year, but that was meant to be Volta versus Zack Sabre Jr. And yeah, we were all really stoked for that match. But when Tyler Bate replaced Zach because he had his New Japan, he had to go to New Japan. They had this video package before that match. And I remember turning to you at the time, I was just like, this feels like it was always supposed to be this match. Yeah. Like the Zach match was never, ever going to happen. It was always going to be this Tyler Bate match because it was an exceptionally well put together video package and told this story. Again, using characters and using the characters themselves to get that story over. And I just think they did this exceptionally here. Ollie and I got a bit of flack yesterday because we were talking about there was a lack of Vince McMahon in the Kofi Kingston angle from SmackDown. And we got some flack from people because they called us hypocrites because we were complaining that Vince McMahon was all over that storyline.
Yeah.
And I can see from a certain point of view, but I think people misunderstood what we were saying about the lack of Vince. The lack of Vince on yesterday's SmackDown, Tuesday SmackDown, meant that that storyline had no conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It was just dropped.
Yeah.
And it meant that all those weeks of TV meant nothing. And we were just wasting time to get to this 1 week of build for a match.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating because I wanted that story. If you're going to do the storyline, at least finish it.
Yeah, unless they're doing something at Mania with it.
That's what we said.
But then you could have hinted at it, couldn't you?
Like, yes. There
could just be a shot of Vince somewhere just watching.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to say anything, doesn't have to do anything, but he's just
so you
taking
know that
note.
He's there.
Yeah,
exactly,
you know that he's about to do something.
So in the seats. And it could have been the John Oliver thing. We don't know that he could have been there, and because of the John Oliver segment, they decided to take him off TV. We don't know if that's the case. That's a theory. I think it's a pretty good theory. But to bring that round to this video package, I don't like to repeat myself, but this was Johnny Gargano's story as a character through NXT and his journey that he's taken to get to this point, and Adam Cole's debuting at a takeover, having the most dominant faction, War Games, NXT North American Champion, the first one, this flash. And I point out, like, yeah, you call yourself Johnny Takeover, but you lose
You've got the worst track record.
Everything that these two were saying
Even
was
the Dreams won at TakeOver.
Yeah, everything these two were saying was completely true. And it made me so excited for this coming Friday and this match. I keep saying this coming Friday. It's tomorrow.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting that.
Super, super stoked for this. Like, specifically for this match and for Pete Dunne-Walter. Like, those are the two
big hitters in my book. This one especially, because I really don't mind who wins. Like, I really, really just feel like whoever wins, it's going to be an amazing moment.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to see which one they pick and how annoyed or jubilant I am at the end of it.
Yeah. And I love Gargano saying that, yeah, Adam Cole is hungry, but I'm starving. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, that's a great, great line. I loved it. And it felt so real. Because then you have shots of them training for this.
I love the
like it's a real
montage.
Fight. Why don't they do more of this? Yeah. It just makes it feel so real. Like, you're genuinely training for a big time fight. Gargano, I've come back to my hometown. I go back to the gym where I originally trained, mm-hmm. where I first got my
He's running around the stadium.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Gonna need a montage.
Yeah. And you had Cole training with the other members of the Undisputed Era, and him saying like, "Have you ever heard the term like power in numbers or strength in numbers?" I love this. My notes at the end of this are just, that effing ruled. I effing love wrestling. And I do.
Yep.
These kind of video packages make me love professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. Anything else you want to say on it?
No, just, I can't wait. I prefer to stop doing this now and just go and wait. I'm just going to wait quietly for this to happen.
If
tomorrow.
You haven't watched this week's NXT, skip through everything and just watch this or find this promo on YouTube.
I'm really looking forward to getting to watch that again tomorrow.
Oh, God. When we get back to the office, let's watch it with Ollie.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't seen it yet, so let's watch it with him. Then we got a promo for WrestleMania with a garbage song. A garbage, terrible song. It really brought me down a notch. And then we got a video for Matt Riddle versus the Velveteen Dream. This was a more standard video affair. Riddle saying that he's going to win, Dream saying he's going to win. But I like that both of them were putting each other over mm-hmm. in these promos. And I think that's always the best thing to do. Riddle saying, like, you are one of the, like, Dream is one of the best in the world, but he's not the best in the world, mm-hmm. referring to Riddle himself as the best one. Thought it was a good promo.
Yeah, I like the fact that he was like, he likes the spotlight so much. And what bigger spotlight than being in the ring with me? It's just an ego off. It's brilliant.
Oh, it's great. Love Matt Riddle. 5 weeks ago, crazy to think this was 5 weeks ago, we had that Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic match, which unfortunately, like, their feud got cut a little bit short because of Keith Lee's injury. They were meant to be on the TakeOver pre-show, mm-hmm. effectively, that would then air next week. But Keith Lee has this sort of like backstage moment with some reporters where they said they were bumped from New York, but he went to William Regal, and it's going to happen in 2 weeks' time. So not at the TakeOver event, but the week after.
Welcome effing back, Keith Lee.
Oh, mate, he's so good.
I cannot wait for this as well.
Bloody love me some Keith Lee. Got to be great. I hope the whole episode is that one match.
Me too. I hope it goes on for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I hope it carries on.
Yep. It's fight forever, mate. Yeah. Fight forever. So yeah, with the two matches we're going to be getting next week in amongst all of our video packages, so we're going to struggle to think of a title for next week's show and things to talk about.
Candice LeRae, something, something.
Something, something, Aaliyah. Because it is Candice versus Aaliyah and the Street Profits versus Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel of the European Union. Both matches, I think, will be good.
Mm.
Particularly that tag match.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then we got the main event, which we thought was good. So what do you think of the show overall?
I really liked it. It got me very hyped for TakeOver. And I think that's the job that it set out to do in the first place. So what more do you want, really, from a thing? And those promo packages are some of the best I've ever seen.
That's a chef kiss video package. Seriously.
What did bueno, chef's kiss.
Go out of your way to watch that video package. Speaking of packages, Andy Datson, what have you got for us?
what an introduction. Well, someone is...
You're welcome.
There's a man in the comments calling us nerds.
And also nerds!
That we have never seen a lady's private parts, but whatever. That's just his
nerds.
Thoughts.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah. The Zornis says...
I've got the internet. I've seen a lady's private parts.
I've seen that movie, Private Parts, the Howard Stern story.
The Zornis, or Zornis possibly, says, I think Pete Dunne's gimmick won't be understood on the main roster. What do you think? The whole bruiserweight kind of bending people's fingers.
No, that would translate across. I think that would translate.
I don't really think it's a gimmick. Like, it's not enough of a gimmick that I'm like, that's a gimmick. It's just a dude who's a bit mean.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's fine.
And I think the term cruiserweight is well known enough that I think people would get what bruiserweight means.
It's just a fun word to say. Like, it's just there to be like, that's a fun thing to say. Does it?
Yeah, I'm less worried about the crowd reaction. I'm more worried about a Vince reaction of being like, considering that Pete Dunne is what, 5'5" or something like that. Yeah. And you'll just see him as like, and I don't understand what he's saying because his accent's real thick and you can't cut a promo. So that's what is going to be a worry for me. For Pete Dunne going to the main roster.
I think he'll just silently sneer for weeks until he gets over. And
that's my Pete Dunne sneer.
It's terrible.
Thanks, mate. That's
definitely having a stroke.
The thing is, they won't have Walter talk properly. They'll just have him stand there and looking all austere because he's. I've spoken to him before.
Is it pronounced Austrian?
And he's quite soft spoken. So
yeah, he is very softly spoken. Wonderful man, though. Very nice chap.
Tomo!
Hello, Tomo!
Says, should NXT be in the Superstar Shake-Up? International Superstar Shake-Up.
Oh, yeah, it's an international Superstar Shake-Up, isn't it? But we're not sure if that is just because it's in Canada. Mm. So they're calling it the International Superstar Shake-Up.
It might just be the International Superstar Shake-Up just for Pete Dunne. I think that could be the other thing. It's just called that to get Pete Dunne.
And also, like, international, if you're calling people up from NXT, it's still in America, mate. It's like, it's hardly international.
Yeah. I think NXT should be involved.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the better way to just debut everyone sort of at once.
In fairness, they usually are. Because Sanity and Andrade were announced as part of the Superstar Shake-Up last year.
True,
I think NXT usually are involved. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, some will debut on the Raw and SmackDown after Mania and others will get announced the week after.
Yep.
Yeah.
Says, will your crap gimmicks be on the 2K19 playthrough?
If people have made them and we can find them, then yes, because we have not got the time to make them ourselves.
The main main idea is that we're going to try and play through some of the matches from the TakeOver card and some of the matches from the Mania card. We'll probably cherry pick the better ones for that because we're only doing an hour stream and there's however many.
Yep.
And then I don't know what we'll do before the G1 supercard is just...
Maybe there we'll do some stuff. But yeah, this is a call out. If you can make them on 2K19 and let us know on Twitter how we can find them. Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that on the Saturday.
Well, maybe we'll do that on the Saturday.
We'll do stupid stuff.
Silly stuff on the Saturday. I've downloaded the new Power Rangers games. We can play that as well.
And that's got nothing to do with wrestling, Luke.
But it's whole 9 characters. I love me a fighting game that's got 9 characters.
9 characters, and the Power Rangers already were just colour swaps. It's not...
9 characters. Yeah. When I loaded up that character selection screen, I was like, oh, lads, come on.
Yeah, they really
skimmed. What's worse, it's a 9 character...
Two of them are Tommy Oliver.
Well, yeah, there's that. It's a 9 character selection screen, and then you pick a team of 3.
This one this one guy in the comments is going to be going, the nerds again!
Take it over to Screenstalker. I forgot what the question was. Oh, crap gimmicks.
Yes.
If you can make them, then we'll find them. But like, we're the sort of people that if I started making a character on 2K19, it will take me 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because I'll just get too into it. I'll spend an hour and a half on their entrance alone.
Mm.
And when I mean that, I mean the first frame of it.
I changed the outfit of my wrestler on it between every match.
Yeah.
Because that's how sad I am.
So yeah, if you can make them for us, we'll outsource it to you guys. Thank you.
XSG says, does NXT's runtime help with the feud building? Because it's only, I suppose, it's an hour long. So.
Yeah, no, I'd totally say that. An hour show is always easier to watch. Mm-hmm. It's a much tighter show for it being an hour.
But we always say this as well. It's like the brilliance of NXT is they manage to fit probably as many stories into that 1 hour as Raw gets in 3 hours. And everything feels like it's actually got enough time. It's kind of breathing. The important things are important. The other things still get time and still get build. Even the minor stuff happening down here has had a little bit of build. Raw just seems to go like, we only really care about 2 things.
Yeah.
And 90% of our show will be about that.
And on top of that, they've only got an hour's worth of build, but they've also got a longer period to get it done. They get like 3 months between takeovers.
Yeah.
So although you only, it's only an hour, but you've got 3 months worth of shows to make before you get to the takeover match. So you've got to smartly plan out those 3 months in order to get you to that big match. Whereas Raw and SmackDown have them every 3 or 4 weeks.
I mean, and then to sort of be to play devil's advocate, they obviously have the difference of they have a very hardcore audience that come to it because it's called NXT, not because of who's on it. Whereas Raw, the pressure is on because you're on a sort of in front of a TV audience that you're like, well, it needs to be the people who are popular.
Yeah.
And so that means that the focus is on these people and then everyone else sort of falls by the wayside because it's all about ratings.
Yeah. And I think it being taped helps as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And last one, we talked about favourite oils yesterday. So, Laurie, what is your favourite oil? Ollie's is coconut oil, as was the answer of my lady friend. Mine is sunflower oil, because that's the only one I get. Luke's is Texaco.
Exxon Valdez.
So this came from the fact that people were misspelling Ollie's name as oil. And then Andy made the error of correcting them.
My favourite oil is beard oil.
Ah, good shout, mate. Do you have a particular scent that you go for?
Sandalwood.
Yeah, mine's sandalwood as well.
It's a great scent. It's so fresh.
It's so fresh. It's nice putting that on of a morning. I do enjoy it.
Champion.
Absolutely champion.
You went to the theatre.
I did go to the theatre, yeah.
How you went to go see the bank robbery?
The comedy about a bank robbery.
That's the one.
Which is by a theatre company called Mischief Theatre, Mischief Productions. And they do another one that's in London called The Play That Goes Wrong, which I took my dad to see last year and is so funny. It's basically a slapstick nightmare in which every scene is constructed in a way that all these moving parts slowly start to spool in, and people are walking through doors as other people are leaving, but they keep walking into a scene as someone's just turned their back, and then there's like loads of cases of mistaken identity.
Yeah.
And it just becomes this setting up of dominoes for them all to fall down at some point. It was really good. I really highly recommend it. It's a really, really, really good laugh. There was a scene in it in which... So everyone in the town is a crook. There's this bank that's got to look after a diamond, and a couple of people are trying to steal it. The two people who are trying to steal it have just broken out of prison. There's another character who's a bit of a con man, dating a woman who used to date one of the guys who broke out of prison, who is also a bit of a con artist.
Right.
He goes to her house to just like try and get it on with her. She's trying to get money off him. When he arrives, they're there for a couple of minutes. This other guy turns up who is like her boyfriend. She didn't know got out of prison. So he has to hide. And then it becomes a scene in which he ends up pretending to be her dad and like getting on this elaborate game of charades that goes on for ages. And then there's a point where her dad actually comes in and he's trying to leave by like sneaking out from the thing. And then they like call the maintenance man. He gets to the door. Just as they call the maintenance man, he's standing there with a cap on like, I'm the maintenance man. And it just does this sort of like, every time you think it's resolved, there's more and more and more. And it was a good like 25 minutes of this first half of this show was just this one bedroom scene where all the timing was like so perfectly tight. It is an amazing production. And they managed to do slapstick stuff with like incredible precision. It's so interesting.
Because I really wanted to go see The Play That Goes Wrong and this one as well. I think that it was very much up my alley in terms of comedy. My wife, on the other hand, is not a fan of slapstick. Yeah, as you well know. So
I think you would be surprised at how much you like this, because it's like I don't really like, oh no, he fell over kind of slapstick, but this just has the perfect combination, because I think The Play That Goes Wrong is probably better for that as well, because the point is it's going wrong.
Yeah.
And it's them, actually what's really funny is them reacting to the tragedy of the slapstick rather than the fall is not funny, but the fact that half the stage falls down while two people are on it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do their lines while holding all this furniture on this slope and just screaming their lines and trying to carry on. That's very funny.
Yeah. It's
really, really good.
Because I want to see both those. And I actually really want to go see Only Fools and Horses.
I saw the Only Fools and Horses bit at, what was it, Comic Relief. They were on stage and they sang they sang a couple of the songs. And I was like, this didn't need to happen.
That's a shame.
This was unnecessary. Well, because they just did the title sequence. And I put the money in your pocket.
I'll get the case from the van. Yeah.
Yeah, they just did that song. And I was like, well, this is pointless. This is just, we're just watching a boring episode of Only Fools and Horses about the original cast.
I do want to get, because I'm a big Only Fools fan. So I'm a big Only fan and horses. So I do really want to go see that. But again, my wife is not as much of a fan. So I don't. And like, I already dragged her.
It looks a little bit rubbish, mate.
Reviews have been quite good for it, though. And like, I know.
It's got Paul Whitehouse in it, though. So you can rest it from drudgery.
Exactly. And I already dragged her to see The Twilight Zone in theatre as well. So I don't think that I'm really like in a position to say, now come see another play that I want to see.
But if you don't want to see any plays, then what are we going to see?
The Curious Case of the Dog in the Night, or whatever it's called.
Hey, that's really good.
Oh, really?
That's really fantastic.
My wife didn't like it at all.
I really loved it.
Yeah, she didn't like it. She didn't get on with it at all.
I think she's got bad taste.
That's what we've learned from this.
I think what we've learned from this is she's got poor taste.
Well, if you are listening, hon, which I know you are, Laurie thinks you have terrible taste in play.
Hi. So
take it up with him the next time we see him. Right, let's have some 80% facts before we get out of here. This comes in from Taylor. Since we had a lot of music-related 80% facts, let's keep this rolling, because I'm a huge Blink-182 fan.
Yeah.
One of my first tattoos was Blink. I once read that the 182 comes from being the amount of times the F-bomb is dropped in the movie Scarface.
Mm.
80% fact, mate. I've absolutely no idea, so I can't actually.
I couldn't even tell if it's 182 or 182.
Yeah, I used to call them 182, and then I met people who started calling them 182.
182. Blink 182.
Yeah. An impossible score to get in darts. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie. Yep, that's it. I've been a long-time fan of the channel and gone from strength to strength. I'm a pod swatter, and you guys keep me sane whilst I'm commuting. I also watch all your YouTube videos, and even though I'm not a big film guy, I've even subscribed to Screen Stalker because
yes.
Laurie is the man. 80% fact, movie trailers were originally shown after a movie, hence the name Trailers. Keep up the great and consistent
work. That sounds like it might make sense.
Keep up the great and consistent work, and thanks once again for making my commute to and from work enjoyable. Thanks, Henry.
I say we rename them fronters now.
I do remember a story I heard. So this is a secondhand story. It's not one of my own. But the Star Wars Episode 1 trailer was attached to Meet Joe Black.
Hmm.
And a lot of people were then going to see Meet Joe Black just so they could watch the Star Wars trailer for Episode 1. Because remember, kids, this was back in the day before the internet was really a proper
yes.
thing.
It's like all the people who bought Zone of the Enders so they could play the Metal Gear 2 demo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah absolutely.
Screen Stalker. Subscribe.
Because, yeah, there was a period of time, kids, when getting hold of film trailers, you had to go to the cinema to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember downloading off LimeWire.
Did people just leave, though? Did they watch
the... Well, yeah, okay, so to finish the story, yeah, people would watch the trailer and then leave.
Huh.
And so to encourage people to stay and watch Meet Joe Black, they put the trailer at the end of the film as well.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, so you can watch it now, then watch the film, and if you stick around through this very long and very boring movie...
A terrible Meet Joe Black sandwich.
You get to watch the Episode 1 trailer again, which was a very, very good trailer.
They should have just done secret screenings of it where they were like, yeah, it's Meet Joe Black, but then they just play the trailer the amount of hours that the film was on for.
Oh, mate, I'd have totally done that. Back in 1998 as well, I would have been all over
before
that.
You knew what the prequels were going to become.
Oh, yeah, because there was that period of time in like 1998 and early 99 when we were all full of like joy and hope and optimism, being like,
new Star Wars?
Oh, brilliant, new Star Wars? Yoda's on 7-Up cans. This can't go wrong at all. That poster looks great. Jewel of the Fates, wonderful stuff. Can't wait to see this film. And then it is what it is. But, you know, with the benefit of hindsight...
Let's get those Gungans over.
With the benefit of hindsight, it's better than Attack of the Clones,
hey.
Which is terrible.
That's the second one, right?
That's the second one, yeah.
And the third one is...
Revenge of the Sith. Which is, by default, the best of the prequels, because it's the least rubbish.
Whichever one has the least green screen is the best one.
Oh, well.
That is the worst green screen. I know we do bad green screen, but my yeah. God.
But we didn't cost $400 million
yeah.
to make.
Yeah, exactly. All the people sticking out like they are. You are definitely not there.
Yeah, we didn't have ILM
Nothing
doing
is there.
Us. but I think, actually, every single thing of that movie is all shot on blue screen and green screen. So I don't think there is a film whichever film is the shortest, that's the one that had the least amount of green screen in it. Because there's no real sets in that film. I think they go to Tunisia, though, in Episode 1 to recreate Tatooine.
Bit of desert walking, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So I think they did go to Tatooine. Yeah, they actually went to Tatooine. They went to the planet and everything. No, they went to Tunisia, I think. So maybe it's Episode 1.
Tunisia might as well be Tatooine for...
Yeah.
How often I'm going to go there.
So they say, for the Tunisian tourist board, it basically is Tatooine. Come over here.
We've got two sons.
Uncle Beru's house is still... Aunt Beru's, rather. Aunt Beru's house is still here. Look, the skeletons have gone, though.
It probably is.
Yeah. Michael emails in to say, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie. Hi, Andy, but definitely not Randy. You may call me Michael Roberts. That way you don't have to pronounce my last name. Sorry, mate, I'll just call you Michael. I once heard that the facts underneath the Schnapple caps are only true if there's a period at the end of it or if it's missing the period. I'm not sure, but it's one of them. So if it's got a period at the end of it, it might be true. But it also could be the case if it doesn't have the end, then it's true.
Why would you do a thing called Snapple Facts and then do some of these are lies? Like,
well, we have a segment on here that's called Amos.
But ours is upfront about the fact that these aren't facts.
That's true.
As far as we know, as far as people think these are facts, then probably not facts.
Yeah.
Snapple are like coming out of the gate being like, these are facts. And actually, some of it's just fake news to sell drink.
Absolutely, yeah. P.S. I've been meaning to send this, but decided to do it now because I had a dream that Luke was my Uber driver. The weird part is I don't even use Uber. Either way, thank you and support WrestleTalk. This is from Michael. Sent from his iPhone.
The weirdest bit is I don't even use Uber. I'm a Lyft man, actually.
I mean, it's not the weird bit that I was an Uber driver. Yeah, no, it's that I don't use Uber. Right, well, let's crack on out of here because we've got to get ready for the live stream. Thank you so much for listening. As you well know, it is a packed time.
Jam-packed house
for podcasts at the moment. Can we podcast with you every single day up until next Thursday?
Ouch.
So, yeah, be prepared, like Scar says in The Lion King.
Yeah, moisturize your ears to stop them from wearing out.
Absolutely, get ready for it. Get your earbuds waxed. I don't know what you do.
Rest your ears. Don't listen to anything after this, and just prepare yourself.
Even though the next episode will be out in about an hour after this one, because it's going to be the WrestleMania 35 predictions.
Yeah. Spend some time in a soundproof room.
Yeah, for a little while. Yeah, you know, watch some Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but you know, cover your hands over your ears so you can protect your ears just ever so slightly, but just enough so you can still hear the cracking dialogue from that excellently written show. But anyway, so we're going to get out of here now. If you are one of our Patreon pledge hammers, our review of WrestleMania 20 is now live, as well as Ramble Club from last week for our $10 and above backers. Wrestle League is open. Get involved with that. And if you have left a question for the mailbag, we're going to be answering those throughout the pre-shows that we're doing. The pre-shows. Excuse me, I really needed to burp, but I need to finish this link. The pre-shows that we're going to be doing, because we're going to be watching.
Nailed it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Because we're going to be watching the pre-shows for the pay-per-views. But we're going to be doing a pre-show where we're going to play 2K19 in the studio. So you can come and watch us along playing 2K19.
Hopefully playing the match card. Depends on how many of the characters we can find to download for NXT specifically.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So join us on the pre-show where we'll be answering your mailbag questions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you later on today and then again tomorrow and the day after that, the day after that, the day after that. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.